The Music Business Worldwide podcast is supported by Volley Music, a leading financial management platform for the music industry. Volley enables you to track expenses, approve invoices, and make payments 24/7, 365 days a year. For your free trial, head to volleymusic.com. That's VOLYmusic.com.
Hello and welcome to the latest Music Business Worldwide podcast, supported by Volley Music, now known as Volley Entertainment. Joining me on this podcast is Julius Irving III, better known as Jay Irving. Jay is the founder of Los Angeles-based Human Resources, a distribution and services company working with premium independent artists. Its successful clients to date since it launched in 2016-2017 have included Brent Fires, Pink Sweats, Ant Clemens and YBN Namir. Right now, though, people are talking about Human Resources for one artist more than any other, Ray. The British singer-songwriter signed with Human Resources in 2022 following a public breakup with her former label Universal's Polydor. In February 2024, 2 years after signing to Human Resources, Ray swept the UK's Brit Awards with a record-breaking 6 wins, including Album of the Year. There is then lots to ask Jay Irving about when it comes to high-flying independent artists like Ray, and what that might reflect about the wider modern music business. On this podcast, I also ask Jay about his previous life as an artist manager, the future for independent artists more generally, and Jay's decision in 2020 to sell Human Resources to Sony Music and The Orchard, where he continues to work today. Jay Irving, welcome to the Music Business Worldwide podcast. We've just seen Ray break all-time records at the Brit Awards in the UK, winning 6 awards. I believe she had 7 nominations, also a record in and of itself. What significance can we put on, from the industry's perspective, put on the fact that a truly independent artist has dominated the culmination of a leading music market's pop industry in the way that she just has?
I'm glad you said it. The fact that she is independent. I think we joked that if she had been signed to a frontline label, people would have said it was rigged and somehow the label paid for it. I think the way in which Ray won the Brits is really a testament to who she is as an artist and as a person. I think she's persevered and kept her head down and done the work and stood for what she believes in from an artistic perspective. I think that to be the artist with the most nominations in 1 year was already overwhelming, but then to win the most Brits of any artist ever, I think it speaks to who she is as an artist and what's to come for her career.
I don't think anyone would really disagree with anything you just said, but there was a slight irony here because I was doing a bit of research before our chat. So when Human Resources signed Ray, and obviously I'm assuming people who listen will know the backstory, but I'll give a little of the backstory away shortly. In her quote, she said that she was delighted to sign to a company governed by art, not chasing the chart. I actually think she said not soullessly chasing the chart. The irony being that the chart ended up getting slightly dominated with at least a couple of her tracks and certainly her album. And now another huge mainstream moment. I'm interested to know about the creative chemistry here. And I'll just talk around my sort of perspective on this. It's well known that Ray ended up frustrated with her label relationship previously, primarily, I think, from what I can tell, because there was doubts around her album, doubts that seem slightly silly in retrospect, and her ability to be an album artist. I know that label fairly well. That label, the part of the story that's not often told, that label has had great successes. We point to Sam Fender in the UK as a great example of a really interesting self-contained artist who's been very successful on that label. However, with Ray, I really, when I saw her perform at the Brit Awards, I was thinking about how she dictates her own artistic direction in such a way that perhaps not being on a record company that she found them cajoling or stifling or whatever words we want to pick, maybe being an independent artist was the better route. So I'm interested in just why you think when the creative chemistry didn't work in a label situation for her, why with Human Resources and steering more of her own ship, it did work so well subsequent to that label situation?
Yeah, I can't really speak to her previous label situation. Obviously, I wasn't involved. And what I will say in fairness is any music executive that's been in the business for some time has missed things, right? Like I've missed a lot of stuff. There's been stuff that's either been in my office or in my email, or I didn't hear it the same way. We all miss things, right? I think all I can speak to is when I heard the album and when Ray played it for me. And when you speak to chemistry, it wasn't a chemistry to make the album or to create that body of work because it was already done when it got to me. I think what I was able to do was hear it in the same way that Ray heard it. And that in itself didn't make us right. It made us aligned in terms of how we felt about the body of work that she had created. I think the true testament and the true test is the community and the fans and music listeners and people that appreciate music and art. And they have now spoken and they feel, a lot of them anyway, I think there's still a lot of discovery happening around Ray right now. I mean, we still have some other dominoes that we need to knock down in other countries and territories and whatnot. But the folks that are discovering Ray and discovering this album are hearing it the way that we did. And she performed at O2 Arena last week. And to hear 18,000 people singing every word to what are supposed to be what we called album cuts, that's true testament that people have bought into Ray holistically. And it's not about any particular single or song. It's really about her as an artist. When you got them singing every word to every song on the album, they've clearly done a deep dive and it's bigger than just a song.
It's funny. I've long had this kind of obsession with the idea that many artists, not all artists, but many artists who truly become meaningful on a large scale have a character that people can buy into. They give something honestly or authentically about their personality, even to borrow a phrase of hers at the Brits, this sort of ugly crying part of it. And another irony, really, I guess, is that her detachment from her previous label situation and her public announcement, her public honesty about how upset she was about that situation actually led people to buy into her character and go, oh, this seems real, in a world where so many things are either very short, both in duration and worthy of attention, but also polished and prefabricated in a way. And I think that then people heard the music and went, oh yeah, there's that character again, being honest, authentic, fearless in the narratives and the personal experiences that she was getting across. Do you think I'm onto something there? Do you think that this idea of character plus music makes for a more compelling proposition than just song and or I guess everything being perfect all of the time?
I think Ray is honest. When I think of the artist that I've fallen in love with in my life, it's been artists that I believe. I think that it adds another layer of connectivity when it's an artist that you truly believe. Ray has never taken an opportunity with me personally to put down her previous label or make anything about them. That hasn't been her position with me. It's solely been about what she believes in musically and what she wants to stand on and stand for ultimately. That's what the conversation has been. I don't think the motive has ever been to prove anyone wrong or prove anything to anyone in that way. I think it was really more proving to herself that this art that she believed in is commercially viable and worth standing on, which she has done. It's certainly not driven by anyone, any naysayers or anything like that. I think naturally we want to, in our human nature, is to want to prove people wrong, but I don't think it's about any one person specifically or any label group or anything like that. Like I said, we've all missed things and are going to continue to miss things. Like, these things that I've missed won't be the last ones as I continue to work in music, but that certainly wasn't Ray's motivation. The motivation and her honesty is just about who she is. I mean, she took her clothes off on stage and singing a song called Body Dysmorphia in those moments where she's not as proud as she should be about her body and her look and her insecurities. And it gets no more honest than that. And to be able to talk about it and live it and be it, that's true vulnerability.
Part of the niceness of the Ray story is not just that she's an independent artist, which is what I'm going to come back to in this question, but also that she started in that songwriting community. I remember Steve Mack, who you're probably aware of, probably most famous for Shape of You is Ed Sheeran, saying to me, I think at a BMI event, I was asking him which up-and-coming UK songwriters is years ago he was excited about. And he was saying, this Ray girl is unbelievable. The songwriting community knew, and though they get to enjoy her reaching her potential as a fully blown artist. The other thing, though, is that she is this sort of torchbearer now for independent artists, particularly when it comes to, as I said, the culmination of the sort of mainstream pop industry is now celebrating her in this way. And that seems to be a tipping point of some kind. And that leads me to this question, which is, we've seen it happen at the Brits now on this scale. We've seen independent artists dominate and reach the top of markets. And I'm talking mainstream music in markets like Brazil and various parts of Latin America. We've seen it in Sweden and Norway for some time, the birthplace of modern streaming, if you like. I would argue that it hasn't yet happened, with the perhaps exception of the Chance the Rapper moment. It hasn't fully happened in the US. And I guess what I'm leading to here is a question around, we've seen the UK, which is a cultural heavyweight around the world, it's fair to say, in music. We've seen an independent artist dominate, as I said before, the culmination of its mainstream music industry. Do you think we're going to see that day at the Grammys? Do you think we're going to see that day come in the US? And if so, how long are we going to be waiting for it to happen?
I've been pretty vocal that I feel like the Grammys got it wrong as it pertains to Ray. I think that, and I don't think that Ray is the first artist, nor is she going to be the last artist that they'll get it wrong with. I think that in having some dialogue with some spirited debates with some folks in and around the Grammys, I think one of my takeaways was the work that we have to do and making sure that everyone, myself and everyone around me that's eligible, is voting, is weighing in and applying and doing all of, taking all of the necessary steps to have a voice. I think that they have done a better job including all genres of music and recognizing all genres of music. I think there's still a long way to go as it pertains to that. But I think the work needs to be done on both sides. I don't think we can solely blame them without playing our part and doing what we need to do to have a voice. I stay away from politics, but it's similar to us on every level voting and having a real voice for people that are in office and how that affects decisions that are made. I think the same thing applies to the Grammys, that we can't complain about it if we're not playing our part. If we have the entire community playing their part, and we should start to see this thing skew in the right direction. I think that some people that have been vocal about it are not wrong. I think that they're right in their take around it. But I do think that we got to also play our part and do everything that we can to make sure that the right voices are being heard and that the right artists are being supported and promoted and recognized with through the Grammys.
I mean, if we were to get into the ins and outs of the Grammy committees, we may be here for another 3 hours. So I will spare you any more questions on it.
Easily.
So I just want to talk to you about this sort of independent artist world more generally. And when I say independent artist world, I am, of course, talking about millions of artists. And I appreciate that this is not one blob. This is not one entire entity that speaks as one. It is, in fact, as I say, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of different voices. And you just happen to work within the segment. But I am very interested when we see Spotify put out numbers. Just the other week, they said effectively they paid $9 billion to the music industry in 2023 in royalties. That included publishing and records. At $4.5 billion, or around half of it, went to what they called independent artists or the independent sector. Now, just a little bit of clarification on that, because I've checked in with Spotify. What that really means when they say independent is any artist who is not signed to what we would term frontline major record companies, from Columbia to RCA, Interscope, Republic, et cetera, et cetera, Atlantic. So it's that plus their publishing. So maybe they're, for example, Ray's publishing signed through Warner Chappell, I believe they admin her publishing. So that includes the royalties that go to Ray for publishing Warner Chappell. So that's the 4.5, just to clarify it. But still, it is a kind of knockout statistic that 50% of the money that Spotify pays out goes to artists who are not on major record labels. What do you think we can ascertain from this? What is this telling us about the industry and the way that it's moving? And I guess human resources plays within it.
I think $4 billion of that could have gone to Bad Bunny, but
probably not quite, but you're not far off, I'm sure.
I think it's a testament to where the community's at. When I launched Human Resources 5 years ago, I was listening to the community and the young artists, young executives, young managers that were talking about independence. And I was recognizing a shift in how the artists and executives were looking at independence and ownership. And I grew up in an era where all we wanted to do was get a record deal. I felt like when we got an artist signed to a major label, we felt like we had won. We had now had a partner that was going to pay for everything and make magic with these artists that we were signing to frontline labels. And we grew through my former life as a manager. It was, we went through a lot of iterations of the music business. And we went through that time period where there was pirating was happening and the record companies were scaling back. And as managers, we were trying to figure out how to market and promote our artists, even the big acts. We had to figure out how to have the brand deal and this film and TV project and this tour and all of these things kind of align with the release of music so that we had proper eyeballs and audience around the release of our records, because the record companies couldn't afford to or didn't want to pay for that kind of visibility in the same way that they had in the past because their margins were shrinking. I went through that time period as a manager and figuring out how to do it and break some of these things ourselves and start to look at the tools that we had access to and our ability to speak directly to the consumer through social media and through the internet. I had someone ask me recently, like, what's different? We're talking about executive toolboxes. And he's like asking me what's different from when I came in the game versus now. And I was telling him that, not to age myself, but my toolbox when I came into music didn't include the internet. So I think the access that these artists have to speak directly to the consumers is very real. And I think the beauty around what's happening in the music business now is there's not old guys like myself that are gatekeeping. You have these folks on Reels and on TikTok and on YouTube and on, like, that are telling us what the hits are and what artists are they're interested in and what they're excited about. And they're taking a record like Miguel's Sure Thing and they're saying, okay, 10 years later, we don't care. It's 10 years later and this record is decade old. We want it to be a hit right now, today. And they're doing that. I think the independent community is very real. I think those numbers are just reflective of where the community's at and where, and the fact that there is the ability to have success as an artist independently in this new music business model.
I'm really interested to hear just a little bit more about your history in management and how that has impacted on how you run human resources and how you interact or help guide or give advice to or work with the managers of the artists. Because as we all know, even going back a little bit in human resources history, if we look at Pink Sweats or Brent Fires or any of these people, and Ray the same, managed by Erence, I believe, Paul and Sarah Keane, there's a lot of expectation on the managers when it comes to an independent artist. Even if they're working with a highly sophisticated distribution services partner, there's a lot of expectation on those managers. So I was just wondering if your history with Atom Factory and any other artist managerial experience you have has played into the way that you work with the managers of the artists who are assigned to human resources.
I think it's my DNA. I can't escape it or shake it if I wanted to. So understanding how to deal with artists and also other managers in that capacity, my experience in management is certainly helpful there. And even my relationships between my friend group and my peers and people that I'm friends with, I feel like we're kind of on like an information, what I call like an information superhighway, where we're aware of things that are happening, tours that are going out, people that are looking for sync songs, for sync opportunities, branding opportunity. Like, we're around and in front of a lot of stuff just based on our relationships. Where we've had our most success is when we've had very competent management partners. One of the smartest and most innovative and disruptive managers that I've dealt with to date is Brent's manager, Ty Bazed, and his partner, Jane. They are the modern day superior management team and what it looks like now. I had a partner in management, a guy named Troy Carter, for over 20 years. And the way that he led us into technology, into so many different areas, I'm seeing that happen with Ty and Jane and some of these new managers that are just taking things to a whole nother level in terms of the way that they're looking at their partnerships with their artists, the way they're looking at independence and ownership, and the way that they're monetizing it and building and breaking artists. It's next level. It's fun to watch. And maybe innately, I'm able to spot what great managers. I think in Ray's case, Paul has jumped 10 toes into management and has quickly turned himself into a premier manager. Has Sarah. They've done the work. They've put in the hours to understand how things function and very quickly have become premier managers. At Pink Sweats, manager is great. Those ones that we've had success with, definitely the management component is paramount. Because when you're working independently, you're certainly only as strong as your weakest link. So I think that's very important. And we've been blessed to work with amazing partners on the management side.
I want to talk to you about human resources becoming part of the wider Sony Music Group and its affiliation with The Orchard and you making that step. I think it's been a couple of years since you made that step, maybe more because time does fly. We talked before about what the independent community is, and we're at a really intriguing point where those Spotify numbers are, that's a good reflection really of the strength of the independent community. At the same time, there are very famous examples of artists who are signed to quote unquote major record companies, Taylor Swift being a prime one, where you look at the actual details of her deal or what we know, and there are others, not just her, that kind of start to look like a distribution and services deal that may occur elsewhere. And then you've got distribution and services companies, inverted commas, signing licensing deals that are, could be comparable to a major record company deal in certain circumstances. So it is complicated. That the reason I've brought all that up is to say I've heard Rob Stringer speak a number of times. He's done this publicly, so I won't get him in trouble, but really about the desire of Sony Music to work with as many entrepreneurs as possible. You mentioned Bad Bunny before, what Sony and The Orchard has achieved with Noah and Bad Bunny and that team, but there's many examples, and actually it's now a well-known story. That's partly why The Orchard had the ability to get further ahead of their field in Latin America, because there were so many artist entrepreneurs, manager entrepreneurs who wanted a partner, not a major record company. Were these some of the things that were going through your mind? I guess the ultimate question I want to ask is, what made you feel comfortable with Human Resources, this proudly independent company? I know that you just sort of reunited with Troy not that long before, who remained fully independent outside the system. What was it about Sony that made you comfortable with going inside, even with your vision and your philosophy for independent artists?
Well, just to clear one thing up, because I do want to be very clear about it. It's not possible for me to reunite with Troy because we're never not together. We've always been in each other's pockets, in each other's hearts, and that has and never will change. I wouldn't be doing this without Troy, and he has as much to do with the success of Human Resources and what I'm doing now as I do or anyone does. So there's no way for us to reunite because we're never apart. We've always have been and always will be together. So there's that part. I think there was two individuals initially that made me comfortable with being at Sony and at The Orchard, and that was Rob and Brad Navin. Both of them, I felt like, were very forward-thinking in terms of where the music business is going, for starters. But I think more importantly, they both made me feel very comfortable in that I would be able to develop real artists and do it not rushing into a report card, right? Not having to look over my shoulder every 2 seconds or do something that compromises who we want to be as a company to make a couple dollars and hit some numbers. They both were supporting me and taking my time to really develop artists in the right way. And I don't think you get that everywhere. And really putting the artist first. That's always been their position with me. And I think that they've also, both of them have done an amazing job of leaving me alone at times and pulling my coattail and giving me teaching moments when I need it. That's been great to have. And having that kind of support is exactly where I feel like what we needed in terms of scaling our business and taking it to the next level and being able to break things globally in what we're attempting to do with not only Ray, but with several other artists on our roster that we've got coming. The support has not wavered, not one bit, since I've been at Sony and at The Orchard. I've met amazing people inside The Orchard, inside Sony, that have been equally supportive. So it's been great. It's been a tremendous learning experience, and I want to continue to learn, want to double down on the relationship with both Sony and The Orchard. And it feels like they're looking to do the same. So I'm excited about what we've accomplished, and we'll pat each other on the back and have a high five and shared a few cocktails in London around the Brits. And then it's back to work. It's back to what's next for now. The real work starts with Ray. Now it's Saturday Night Live and it's Met Gala and it's Coachella. And it's how do we figure out the US and these other markets, and how do we make some more hit records? And also, like I said, it's like the stuff that we've got coming, our responsibility to the other artists that are on our roster is to figure out how to break those artists as well, and what that's going to take, and the time and the effort and input that it's going to take in order to do those things. We still got a lot of work to do.
I'm intrigued just hearing you speak. I'll make this the last question, because I guess it's a more philosophical one than I've offered throughout this podcast to now. What is it personally that drives you? I guess within that, that's a big question that demands a big answer. So I'll narrow it down a bit. What do you visualize when you see like your ambition for the next few years? What is it you want to achieve?
If I'm honest, Tim, I've been really blessed to be surrounded by amazing people that had a very high level of success both from a business perspective, but also from a personal and real life perspective. And I don't have to look very far for motivation. I look at my friends. I look at what Troy's building with Venice. I look at my friend Sean G that's over at Live Nation Urban and what he's building. I look at my friend Ryan and what he's doing at Warner on the publishing side, and my friend Sterling who's at Columbia and what he's doing on the A&R side. Like, I don't have to look very far for motivation because my friends are crushing it. And it's like every time I feel like I'm accomplishing something or doing something, they do something else amazing. And I'm like, shit, I got to get back to work and I got to continue to push and continue to grow. And then I have kids and it's like trying to be something that in someone that they can be proud of and that is really working hard and doing their best, not only provide for them, but set an example for them as business people and as humans. So I'm extremely blessed with my family, my mother and father, and my friend group to be surrounded by people that motivate me on a daily basis.
Well, it's nice to speak to a modern music executive who takes motivation and inspiration from those around them, as opposed to, let's say, shallower pursuits, which we're all occasionally guilty of. But respect to you for that answer. Jay Irving, it's been a pleasure having you on the Music Business Worldwide podcast. Congratulations on all the success, and here's to many more. But yes, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.